And that we're going to gear up for it. We're just going to gear up for this Friend Day thing because I'm feeling it in the Holy Ghost. And I really, really need you and want you to be with me. Just before we go into all of that, let me say to all of the young people that are going on the AYC trips, if you're out there, raise your hand. I'm seeing a few of them right now. How many of them are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I'd like to meet with you in my office for about 5 minutes right after service. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And let's look at a very familiar portion of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19. I've been called on by the district to speak to our district ministry regarding a particular subject of Bible study, home Bible study. And they've seen how it has affected our church and how it has been the main thing that has grown our church, because reaching out with the Word, well, that's just, it just, the Bible says the Word never goes out and it never comes back. It never comes back void when it goes out. And so I've always believed that, and I've trusted God for that. And how many of you understand that there are some plants, and I can go into detail, but I got something else to preach tonight, but how many of you understand the fact that you can plant some things and they take forever to come up? You're aware of that. You have the knowledge of that. And then other things, they just like bloom like mushrooms overnight. The Word of God sometimes is that way with different people. But yet, nonetheless, the seed is sown. And when you do outreach and you knock on some doors or you put out pamphlets and tracts and flyers and all of that, or you speak to individuals one-on-one and work with people one-on-one, trying to get them there, and you come that Sunday and they are not there, be careful. Take the side blinders off and check your peripheral vision and find out this. It's a great revelation to know, and that is that if you'll just do the work, God will provide the increase. There will be people there that didn't even get a track or a flyer or witness to. What we're proving to God is that we actually care and that we have an interest and a passion in winning souls. And because of that, He will provide. My Bible says, like, add daily to the church such as should be saved. But He'll only do that to churches that are responsible for them and have a passion for them. Anyway, nonetheless, and I look forward to that. I'm excited about that because I believe that there are great men of God out there. They just need a little booster shot when it comes to reaching out and home Bible studies and going into homes, the hedges and the byways. And so help me pray about that. But then I felt the tug of the Spirit move on me to speak to you upon the same subject. And of course, I won't go into the detail that I'll go into with pastors and preachers and evangelists, but I will speak to you as a home body church. And so I believe that the Spirit has spoken and the door is open and the will of God is going to be done here. Are you ready to hear it? And then are we ready to be activated and move upon it? That's the key. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to follow up on it. Follow up is everything. It's not something. It is absolutely everything. And so we're going to do that this evening. Amen. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about go. Amen. Somebody say go. Okay, I will. Now you. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew 28:19, where the word of the Lord says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And somebody say, that's the will of God. Holy Ghost, help us in Jesus' name. God richly bless you as you are seated just now. Amen. We are excited to have Brother Ben Johnson with us tonight. I leaned over and told him. I leaned over and told him that we can have church tonight. And he helped us have greater church. We're glad he's here tonight. Amen. Go. That's what we're going to talk about. Praise the Lord. And so it is. I'm excited. I've told you that 1,000 times. I can't get over it. I am so thrilled about what God is up to. Amen. I will, and it doesn't profit anything to degrade ministry or to belittle ministry or anything like that. But I'm just going to share something with you that I've heard across the states. And I've traveled a little bit, and I've heard the word not many, but there are those that want to proclaim that how do you get your people to get out in the streets and do the work of God and teach home Bible studies? And, of course, you know me, I try to train up leaders. And leaders are the ones that are out in front of the pack. And the pack is supposed to follow. Amen. A leader doesn't push. He leads. Amen. And so, but here's their reasoning. Sheep beget sheep. In other words, they're saying, I'm a shepherd, and they're the sheep, and sheep beget sheep. And so they're the ones that should be the only soul winners. I hope I don't make anybody mad. That's why I really need you to pray for me. Praise God. Amen. Because to be honest with you, there is only one good shepherd. And all of the rest of us are his sheep of his pasture. There are pastors and there are other ministries that make up the five fingers of God on the earth in the church today. I understand and comprehend that. But all of us need to comprehend the fact that none of us are any better than the other. None of us stand any taller than the other. But we're on level ground at the base of the cross, and we all should work for the glory of God to provide the increase that we can fulfill his will. I already know his will. Don't pray for his will about what you should do. Amen. What we do is we pray that his house would be full and that I can help it get full, because we know that he said that my house shall be full. Am I right? He wants his house full. Praise God. Amen. So in Matthew 28:19, let's look at it again, brethren, if we could. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. That means wherever you're at, teach them the word of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And we know what name that is. We comprehend what this verse is not. When we discuss baptism with people, you should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins because of that. And then the first thing they want to say, well, but how about 28:19? And so we go back to 28:19 and we prove to them what this verse does not mean. We've got that down. We totally get that. We comprehend that and we stand on it. The problem is that what the word actually does mean is slipping by us. Go and baptize them in my name, teaching them all things. Can we find the next scripture verse? I'm springing on you here tonight. I'm sorry about that. Teaching them to observe how many things? All things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If we do this, God will be with us because he knows that we are with him. And so give me a moment to reestablish what this scripture is. It's the shot that was fired that should be heard all over the world. It was a practical yet tactical commission for the church to go. Another thing we all understand with clarity is that the book of Acts is the yellow pages of the New Testament. Somebody say amen. And it's the DNA of a real Christian. You cut us and Acts 2:38 runs out everywhere. That being said, we all know what it says, and the instructions are very clear. Don't let the devil minimize what the Lord wants to maximize. Amen. And though we use the scripture to verify the fact that it is not I'm not going to say the true formula of baptism, because it is. Amen. But it is not the detail of baptism like Acts chapter 2 verse 38 is. However, this verse is very, very vital in what it does mean. We cannot overlook that. Amen. And so make no mistake, you shall be, because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. I'm not here to give you revelation as much as I'm going to try to give you some inspiration. I'm not giving you anything new. However, I will give you one of two things for sure, and that is something to criticize or something that we needed to realize. But if I can just start a fire, I've told you the story about the wheat field and the professor that took that taught agriculture, and he took his students out, and they noticed a fire in the middle of the wheat field. It was dry. The fire was all the way around him. And the professor said, "Does anyone have a lighter?" One of the students had a lighter, and the professor stooped down to start a fire right by their feet. And they said, "What in the world are you doing?" And he said, "If I'll start a fire here, that fire will draw fire. And this fire will go toward that one, and it will not burn where we are. It won't consume us. And we'll just follow this fire to that fire. And when they meet, we'll just back off until they both burn out." And that's exactly what they did. And the situation and the point to all of that is that fire can't burn where fire has just been. Amen. I want you to comprehend that. Hallelujah. And so we have a fire that is hotter than, well, you know. It's much hotter than where the enemy is. It's much hotter than where sinners go that don't repent. It's much hotter than that inferno of eternity. Fire can't burn where fire's already been. We've got the field. We just need to start the fire, or they're going to be consumed with the wrong one. When Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Melita, he helped start a fire that saved his life and saved his ministry. They started a fire, all was well, until a serpent came out and clung to Paul's hand. But Paul had already started a fire, and he was able to shake the serpent off into the fire. What if the serpent had gotten him first, and there had been no fire? There's got to be a fire, ladies and gentlemen, or we can't shake the serpent off. Amen. Let me tell you something about Jerusalem. One of the reasons Jerusalem is so favored of God is because Joshua invaded according to Judges. And then he took it over. And then he set it on fire. Speak to our city, ladies and gentlemen. Speak to our county. Sin, take a back seat. The apostolics are here. Then the Lord will take over. And we will invade it, and we will set it on fire. Amen. But fire has got to be ignited by fire. First, the fire must be in here, and then it will be out there. I'll admit, and I must confess, you've probably heard me say this, but some home Bible study students can be like brownies, a whole lot of sweet with a few nuts. It's a fact. I'm sorry. I've been out there. I know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been out there, do not judge me. Amen. Only God knows the details about individuals that you're trying to reach and teach. So what do, Pastor? We teach them all. We show all of them. We gather all of them. But it's not one of them that God does not want to save. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. This current wave of revival will push us out of our comfort zones, because there absolutely are no throwaways. We are out there to serve the Lord, not to save for the Lord. Amen. Some will come in, some will not. But the ones that will come in will help build great churches. Amen. I present to you tonight that there is nothing that pleases God more than fulfilling His dream for our locations. fulfilling his dream for our ministries. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, to go. You know what scares me about this world? More than evil, more than sin, more than ungodliness, more than hatred. The thing that scares me the most is the fact that the Bible is true. And there's people out there in America that do not know it. In the book of Acts, they were constantly preaching, they were teaching, and they were reaching. All of us here have been given these gifts. It came with the package when we signed up not to just hear the book of Acts, but to do the book of Acts. The challenge to all of us is to go much deeper than the second chapter. We don't have a problem with the first and the second chapter. Sometimes it's hard for us to stretch into the others. Home Bible study is the key that will open the doors to churches not only being started, but successful and self-sufficient all over our district and in our city. Listen, amen. I'm just telling you, there's people out there that can be reached. Amen. There's people out there that will be taught. There's people out there that are hungry for it. When I was young, I kept my ears to the ground. I listened and I learned. Your pastor did not have the opportunity to sit in a Sunday school class. I never had an opportunity to go to a youth camp. I never had the privilege of Bible college. I never had a real, what you would call, Bible mentor. And so what I did was I kept my nose in the Word of God. You should see my first Bible. It was totally marked up. It was totally notes everywhere. Everything, everywhere, all over the place. My Bible, when I got done with my first Bible, it was a mess. But I was just listening and I was learning. And I had my, like I said, I had my ears to the ground. I listened and I learned. I was taught not by word alone, but here's who I was taught by. I was taught by doers of the word. I learned by example by some of the very best. Brother Gary Burton taught me how to teach home Bible study. He taught us how. Great man of God. He has dementia now and barely knows where he is tonight. But before that took place, he left a legacy in a lot of young people that are out teaching home Bible studies. And what he put in me will live on long after he's gone. That's powerful to me. Amen. And that's the best that we can hope for. I was taught by Brother Wayne Huntley. He inspired me with his devotion and consistency to go into homes and teach the Word of God. I also was taught by a great man of God by the name of Jack Yontz, the founder of the principle of home Bible study charts. He inspired me to stick with it. In other words, your first 10 home Bible studies don't work, so what? Keep teaching them. Because the bottom line is this, you're learning just as much as they are. And when you taught 10 families home Bible study, you taught yourself 10 times already. You don't stop. You don't quit. Amen. Hallelujah. We're there to get the Word of God in their home. And if you did that, that's what you've done. You accomplished that. Before I was a preacher, I was a soul winner. I will not let one individual go out of this church to preach the Word of God that is not a soul winner. What is the point? They've left because they were excited and others made the grass look a lot greener on the other side. Who wouldn't do that if they're going to get somebody that's already knowledgeable, somebody that's already understands the principle, somebody they don't have to raise up from the ground level and teach it and put it into them? Hello? Amen. Amen. But if you want to accomplish, you can accomplish from here. Amen. But it might bother you that I want to see souls in this house that you won to God first. It may bother you that I want to see you baptize an individual, that I want to see you praying somebody through to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go ahead, get excited about somewhere else, but I'm going to tell you right now, amen, if it's not happening here, it ain't going to happen there. And so the anointing needs to break some yokes and make us open our minds and open our eyes and realize, amen, you're going to be most successful where I had my success. And that is when I prayed you through, or when I dedicated you when you were a baby, or when I baptized you, or when I taught you home Bible study. If you'll go out and do the very same thing, you're not limited at Landmark. Amen. You're not tied down at Landmark. Turn it loose and let it go. Just do it in a right spirit. Do it in a right mind. Amen. Let God have His way. Hallelujah. Come out of the zone. Right? Amen. All right. Praise God. And so, put your ear to the ground. Listen, learn, grow, and go. Amen. But I'm just saying, before I was a preacher, I was a soul winner. When I retire from preaching, I will continue to be a soul winner. I'm not looking for the beach. I'm not looking for the Caribbean. I'm not looking for the lake or the mountains. I'm seeking for souls that are searching for truth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. According to the conversation Jesus had with Peter after fishing all night long, I learned that nothing means nothing when Jesus owns the net. How many Bible studies you taught? I've taught 20. How many fish you caught? I have caught nothing. Well, go teach another Bible study and you're going to win the whole family. But Lord, you don't understand. And He's looking at you saying, no, you don't understand. That's my word you're teaching. That's people I created that you're getting ready to teach. I wanted to know what kind of fortitude you got. I wanted to know what kind of fire you got. I want to know what kind of metal you're made out of. Now you go teach one more time and I'm going to give you the whole family. Nothing means nothing when the Lord created all of it. Don't tell Him nothing, because to Him, there's no such word. Praise God. The disciples went house to house and they broke bread. Am I correct? It's a stretch, but here we go. I want to share something with you. You break bread in someone's house or from your office or on your job, and it will eventually wind up in the water. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Ecclesiastes 11 said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. People that have been taught and convinced by the word to be baptized will in turn teach and convince others to be baptized. It may take many days, but it's the gift that keeps on giving. Amen. Hallelujah. You teach them the word of God. I'm going to cast them in the water. Amen. And then it's going to come back many days later. And it's going to keep coming back. Do you understand what I'm saying here tonight? Amen. It's very important. Folks, the kingdom of God comes with power. But it also must come with demonstration. We want to talk about the power. But we sometimes do not want to hear the word demonstration. Amen. Paul said, I didn't come with man's wisdom and all this jazz. Amen. I've come to you with demonstration. I want to show you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It doesn't come with just saying it, but it comes with proclamation. It's proclamation and performance. It's declaration and demonstration. It's teaching and then transformation. That is absolutely our obligation and our responsibility. Amen. I have also learned that it will not work if I don't work it. There are no ifs, ands, and buts about it. This has got to happen. It started Landmark. It grew Landmark. And it is still growing Landmark's United Pentecostal Church. Somebody shout, you first. Literally, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you first. And I got a point to make about that. There were no giant killers before David killed Goliath. And then his brothers and his nation became giant killers after David did. Because they said, if David can, I can. I want to do this first. So you can say, if he can, I can. If I can, anybody can. It just didn't happen. Sometimes the greatest act of love is the hardest act to commit. But whoever starts the fire will burn the desire. It was a command. Go ye therefore. Somebody shout, go. Amen. So here's my point. It's like you and I going skydiving, which ain't gonna happen. But it's like that. It's like you and I going skydiving. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, help me. You first. For whatever reason, whether it's fear, anxiety, or lack of confidence, amen, people are going to look at the man of God. People are going to look at leadership. And they're going to say with actions, words, and deeds, when it comes to home Bible study, you first. Praise God. There were no giant killers before David. You understand that. Amen. And now, since there's been home Bible study from the pulpit to the back door, from that side to that side, everyone in the middle understands this thing works if you will work it. Amen. Miracles will take place. Amen. Can I give you a little history? That's what I'm going to give the district. My first couple, they got the Holy Ghost. He was a cook in a high-dollar restaurant in High Point. I ate the best cuts of steak free with delivery. He was a raven, if you understand the Word of God. Amen. And it was just a few months later I found out he was running from the law. But we ate well because I taught home Bible study. We got fed. Amen. And then there was Kenneth Harrison. I literally thought I was going to get lung cancer. He didn't just smoke one cigarette after the other. He lit the next one before that one went out. And we're talking about Acts 2:38. And he died one of the very best men in our church. There was Benny Howard, my insurance agency, when we first moved to town and went to get insurance and on the vehicles and what have you. And he said, you're a preacher. He said, I could tell by your voice. I said, I am. And I said, I'd like for you to be one of my first home Bible studies. He said, I'm game. I said, well, meet me in my office a certain time. I taught him a little one-hour Bible study into his marvelous light. Taught him 1 hour Bible study. And after that, the Bible study said, pray with me right now and you can receive the Holy Ghost. I said, oh my word. It's just me and him in my office. There was no music. There's nothing. I'm just talking. And I said, Benny, I said, according to the Word of God, you should receive the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm game. I said, well, then close your eyes, lift your hands. I'm going to pray for you. When I do, you're going to get the Holy. Man, I prayed for him and instantly he started speaking in tongues right there in my office. He grabbed my hand and he said, I need my wife to get this. I said, you sure do, buddy. He said, I'm going to get her and we're going to hook up. We're going to reschedule and do this again. He brought his wife. Very same thing happened. After it was over, I prayed for her. She got the Holy Ghost. They both said, we've got a friend in Roanoke, Virginia. He's Catholic. I said, oh my Lord, it just gets worse. And he said, he's Catholic and he needs the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, call him. Tell him to come drive. Well, you think he'll drive here? He said, I'll make him drive. And he did. He drove all the way to Thomason Street, came in my office, sat down. And if it was recorded, you would have thought that I was selling drugs because this is what he would say every now and then through the Bible study. 1 hour Bible study. He said, man, that's good stuff. I teach a little longer. He said, man, that is good stuff. I thought, man, I hope the cops ain't listening. Hallelujah. And sure enough, after it's all over, he's staunch Catholic. I said, well, buddy, I said, I'm going to tell you just like I told Benny and his wife. I said, if you'll raise your hands, close your eyes and look up to God, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And bam, he started speaking in tongues. And he, sure enough, he said, that's good stuff. Now, I've done that. I've experienced that. How many of you would love to experience that? Just wave at me right now. I knew I wasn't beating my gums and wasting my time. I know that there's somebody that really wants to accomplish that. And it is the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can talk about Jacob Hedrick when we taught them Bible study. We could talk about Walter Pullum, got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we had a major miracle when I taught Walter home Bible study. When I first went into his house, his dog had the mange from his nose to his toes. You could smell it. The blood was on the couch. And I said, Walter, I said, your dog's got a problem. He said, I know, preacher. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get some mange stuff. I said, well, come next week, I'm going to put it on him. He said, thank you so much. You know, Walter, buddy, he'll be back. And he said, thank you so much. And so the whole 10, 12 weeks, I taught Bible study. Amen. I would treat that dog. And by the time it was over, the dog had a fresh hairdo. God gave us a miracle. That never would have happened. I didn't teach Bible study. You're going to experience everything in the world. Amen. But you know what? You need the experience and they need the word. But what it boiled down to was his ornery wife, Amanda. Amen. I can say that because I know her. And if she was here, she'd be laughing right now. Amen. She was hard-headed. And Walter would come to church forever, and she wouldn't come. And when she did come, she just sat up out there. And I'd go by their house, and I'd say, Amanda, what's wrong with you? She'd say, I've got anxiety. I got anxiety. And so I just kept dealing with that. And then finally one day, the Lord literally spoke to me, and I was driving down old Highway 64. And he said, today's the day. Go pray Amanda through to the Holy Ghost. I said, okay. And so I went back to Walter. I went to Walter and Amanda's house, went in, no music, no nothing. I said, Amanda, I was about half mad and half anointed. And I said, Amanda, enough is enough. I said, you're getting the Holy Ghost today. She said, I am. I said, yes, you am. And I said, I walked over to her with my hand out like that. And I said, I'm going to lay hands on you to get the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to quit till you get it. Amen. And I prayed her through to the Holy Ghost right there in her living room. Amen. And then we could talk about Ronnie Timmons. We could talk about teaching home Bible study to them. Amen. We could talk about Trudy English, who is incidentally, in the kingdom of God right now, waiting on all of us to get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I be frank with you right now? Can I be frank? Amen. I don't want to be rated R or anything, but I want to be frank. I want you to understand. Amen. You're not walking into, the house of saints. Amen. You're not in fellowship with your brethren here at the church. You're out there in the world. And when I first went in to teach our home Bible study, there was pornography on the television screen. I said, Trudy, you think there's a way we could go in over here in the dining room maybe and teach Bible study? Because the whole family was there watching that. And it was nudity and all of that everywhere and words. And I was supposed to open my Bible study chart and teach her right. I said, let's go in here to the dining. And I taught her in there in the dining room. Week after week, I taught her. Finally, she confessed. She said, Pastor, she said, I don't really. She said, I hope you're telling me the truth. She said, because I can't read. I said, Trudy, let's pray for a miracle. You can believe it or not. Amen. If you don't believe me, ask her when you see her, and I hope you get to see her. Amen. I hope you get to see Trudy English. Amen. I don't want you to be like the woman's husband was dying on his deathbed, and he said, honey, he said, after I die, put all my money in the attic. And he said, when I pass by, I want to grab it and go. And she said, okay, honey. And she put it in the attic after he passed away. Months passed by, and she said, you know what? I'm just going to go up there and check. She went up there, and the money was still there. She said, I knew I should have put it in the basement. I want you... I want you to see Trudy English. Amen. But before Bible study was over, God had taught her to read her Word of God. She was able to read the Bible before she left this world. It was an absolute miracle. Amen. And I knew that God was working in her life because her first opportunity to be in our church, she came in, she was a little bit late. She sat down on the right-hand side. After service, I went back and I met her. And she said, Preacher, you won't believe it. She said, I went to my church and sat down in the pew where I always sit. And she said, Spirit of God spoke to me and said, get up right now and go to Landmark. I got up and here I am. And there she was. Isn't that beautiful? Why did God do that? Think deep. Why did God do that? Number one, she was sincere about her devotion to God. And number two, there's a church in town that was sincere about getting to her and showing her the Word of God and sharing with her and having passion for her and not just waving at her when she came to church, but walking her through the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. The Lord sent her to Landmark because he trusted us with her soul. Amen. We've had Bible studies with people, and Brother Ron Harris, wave at me. I want everybody to know you, man. You're a celebrity. Praise God. Amen. We've had Bible studies with people in 112 different prisons, county jails, located within Washington, Texas, Arizona, New Jersey, Vermont, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida, and probably others by now. The leader, Brother Harris. Amen. He personally has done 800 of these or more by now. Bible studies himself. Last report, we're over 2,000. Yeah. Praise God. His attitude, your setback is a setup. Your letdown is for you to get up. And his attitude is simply, eat your problems for breakfast and have a great day. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget the Ferrugia family when I taught Angie and Chuck. Amen. Angie was so full of anxiety, it almost gave her a breakdown and a heart attack just to sit in a service. Angie, you remember that? Now, she's on the leadership staff. Let me share something she texted to me recently. She said, good morning, Pastor. Our family will be out of town this week. We'll see you next Sunday morning. I wanted to share my heart with you today. As I was running this morning here at the beach, I found myself lost. I kept finding one dead end after the other. I was getting very tired and wanted to give up and call for a ride, but I didn't even know how to tell him where to find me. I came upon this gentleman. I asked him, how do I get out of here? And he directed me to one street over, and it was a straight shot after that. I almost gave up one street away from the way home. When I reflected what just happened, I was overwhelmed with the Holy Ghost. I started praying for the people of our city who are lost and ready to give up. She said, they are out there. They are people who hunger and thirst after something they don't even yet know what it is, just like I used to be. I started praying for our church too, praying we are ready to be there when they stop and ask for help. Revival is coming, Pastor. I am praying every day for the people of our city. I just want to be ready myself to lead them home to Landmark, praying for you and the ministry team this morning as well. Somebody shout praise the Lord. I could share many stories from the congregation here tonight. Amen. But time will not permit it. The Lord spoke to me years ago in Nacogdoches, Texas. I was preaching a revival. I was in revival preaching for Brother Carl Booth. The Lord asked me who my real father was. Amen. That night I went to the pulpit and I preached a sermon entitled, My Real Father. Amen. I had to give that a lot of thought because I knew who my dad was. However, for some reason, as a boy coming up, the way to properly raise a son eluded my dad. It came to me and I thought, Lord, you are my real father. He said, go. Tell everyone you possibly can, I am their real father as well. They will be born again because they have a new destiny, a new day, and a new dad. I've got his DNA. And when he gave me the Holy Ghost, I got his genes. There was a retired police officer that asked his son, son, you're not a police officer because I was, are you? Because you could have been something totally different than that. The son said, no, dad, I'm a police officer because I wanted to be just like you. The Bible said he came to seek and save the lost. Is he our real dad? Is he the real father? Do we want to be just like him? I will not leave this world without being a soul winner. I'm saying let's go to their homes and let us break bread. It's about sowing and then it's about growing. When we lose what holds us, we will lose what helps us. When we were fed to feed, given to give, loved to love, taught to teach. We were saved to save. We were healed to heal, forgiven to forgive. Encouraged to encourage, strengthened to strengthen, delivered to deliver. I'm not doing these things. If we are not doing these things, then why in the world did God save me? Let me give you my last point here. Amen. Somebody shout a God attitude. The attitude of God is if my people work for it, then they will be responsible for it. How many of you agree about that with your children? If they work for it, they'll be responsible for it. Amen. If what I'm talking about, if you'll work for it, then you'll be responsible for it and God will trust you with it. If they'll be responsible for it, I can trust them with it. That's why there will be church growth. whether it's the ones taught Bible study or not. If we reach, he will add to the church daily, such as should be saved. Amen. I close with this. We must not be overwhelmed. We must not be intimidated or frustrated as we look at the challenge of evangelism. Be very careful, or fear will immobilize you and the church. Remember, the Bible says the devil is, and the key word here is, like a lion. You remember that scripture? The devil is like a lion. He's a very sad imitation of the lion of the tribe of Judah. He spent a lot of time beside the true lion, and now he's trying to imitate him. Don't you be afraid of him or any of his antics or any of his trickery. The Lord is searching for people willing to plant the fields that lead to harvest, and then harvest the fields that we have planted. Let's stand together. The greatest revival is a home Bible study revival. It's been proven all the way from the Word of God. They went from house to house. How many of you agree that revival is in your neighbor's house? We learned that in the Old Testament, and we have learned that in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophet said, go and borrow vessels. Borrow all the vessels you can find. And when they did, her and her son brought them home, and they were all filled up with oil to the very last one. The only time that the Lord can stop filling vessels is when we have no vessels in here for him to fill. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go and bring all the vessels that we can find so that they too can be filled with the oil. And you and I both know that the oil represents the Holy Ghost, his anointing, his saving grace, and his power. I beg you to never forget as well, it's his power. It's his spirit. But it will always be our hands. It will always be our feet. And it will always be our voices. His spirit. My hands. I'm not giving an altar call. Amen. This calling will not be revealed at the altar. This calling will be revealed in your fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Amen. This is a future. This altar requires a future, a mind change, an attitude change, a total commitment and dedication and relegation. I'm going to work with some folks here tonight. May not be able to work with everybody that wants to, but we're going to work with as many as we can. And so bear with me just a moment. Just stay right where you're at. Maybe I can get an usher. If I can get an usher, help me. Without excuse. Amen. Without excuse. Without reason. Amen. So here's what I'm asking for. Those of you that have a driver's license, young people, if you have a driver's license, mom and dad, anyone else that has a driver's license. And the reason for that is simple. You just, because you've got to go to where they are. You've got to drive where they are. Amen. And we'll open this up for whosoever will other days, but tonight this is the way we want to do this. Amen. And so I'm asking, I'm asking for 14 people because we have 28 Into His Marvelous Lights here. It's a 1-hour Bible study. We also have a track in it. Brother Ben, that one at the bottom belongs to him. Don't let me catch you stealing again. What we have is 28 pamphlets of 1-hour Bible studies. So we need 14 people to teach them because you're going to need one. Your student is going to need one. I'm challenging you to get this done before Friend Day so that they will be here with you Friend Day. And so Brother Mike gets the first two. First come, first serve. Amen. Praise God. Please take the challenge. Please be stirred. On my right hand side is a place prepared for you. Amen. What? No, let's we don't have enough for a big handful for it. Two. You get two, Angie, because you need one to teach out of. Teach one, give one to your student. Teach one, give to your student. Amen. We want 28 people to walk away with these tonight. That's not a lot of people, but Brother Jacob, you've already got two of those. Let's save two for somebody else. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Praise God. I'm going to help all the others that need more in just a few moments. Thank you, Brother Mike. They're still going out. How many of you got there, Brother Ben? There you go. Beautiful. All right. Do we have any more that would like? Thank you, Sister Donna. Here we go. Here goes a Bible study in English. We touch base with our Spanish-speaking individuals, and they have theirs, and they're prepared to go. We got with them this morning, so the Spanish are being reached out to. Amen. We've got more if you want them. We've got more. All right. Those of you that came and you need more, come and get them. Let's double up. I wanted to make sure that everyone that wanted to do this had them. Praise the Lord. And so I know that those of you that come back to get more, I know that it'll get covered and that it'll get done. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise God. Word of God is going out. Platform help. Hallelujah. All right. Amen, amen, amen. And my Bible study is here, and we're on tomorrow night, Brother Cody. Amen. Praise God. It is so exciting to do this. If there's anyone else that would like to teach a 1-hour Bible study, Brother Mike Yontz can assist you with that. Amen. He can help you with that. We may have to order more. We may have to get more, but he can assist you with that and help you with that. But there's an emergency about the ones that went out tonight. Please listen to me carefully. This is an emergency. The only reason I would even endeavor to do this is because I feel in the Holy Ghost that someone is going to listen to it. And they're at the end of it, they're going to say, I've never heard that in my life, and that's exactly what I needed. And they're going to come. And they're going to come on Friend Day. And guess who they're going to make their friend? It's important. Let's get this done before Friend Day so that we can bring them for our Friend Day. Would you help us do that? Somebody shout, go. All right. We're going to dismiss. And as we do, I'd like for you to come down and get some of these flyers. You've also got one in your Bible study, but let's come down and get flyers. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being here. Amen. Let's have the greatest Friend Day that we have ever had in the history of Landmark.